All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit about baby showers. That's right, it's Schitt's Creek. We're talking about season 4, episode 10, Baby Sprinkle. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who definitely knows how to pronounce Albany, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
Albany.
Yes, thank you.
Albany. Is that not right?
Nope. Claire repeatedly says Albany all episode long and made me lose my mind. So
fair. I never know with some of the American pronunciations of states and things. It's like you get on to us about pronouncing things wrong, and I'm just like, we invented the language, so I just want to be like, how dare you?
To be fair, upstate pronunciations of towns is ridiculous and never makes any sense, but Albany is very easy and it is the capital, Claire. So moving on from that, of course, don't forget to subscribe to us everywhere, Talking Shit. Follow us along on YouTube, where we are slowly but surely getting our way up to 200 subscribers, where we will do something exciting. Definitely not waterboarding, but something. And today I'm sure we're gonna have so many rants about baby showers, baby sprinkles, all this, that, and the other. There's a lot to get into here. Stuart, should I bring us right into the episode recap?
I feel like we need to forge ahead. We need to get over it, and we need to like get into the juice of it, right?
Because we're going to have so many side tangents, I can already sense it. So yeah. We need to recap first. David Rose said it best when he said, "That is the stupidest effing thing I've ever heard." Jocelyn cons David into throwing her a baby sprinkle when her sister can't make it. Oh, and by the way, it's the day of the party. Oh, and they have no decor or anything. David, being David, wants to serve soft cheeses and alcohol, but Patrick has seemingly been to a sprinkle or two and advises David that pregnant people can't consume those things. All's well that ends well, as Jocelyn gets mints lobbed at her face at her party. And everyone seems to have a great time. So great job, David. Meanwhile, Alexis is hard at work planning singles week when she runs into an old friend. Who knows?
Yeah.
Claire, spelled with a K. I just filled it in that out. Claire, spelled with a K, is probably a glimpse into who Alexis used to be. And she is the absolute worst, especially because she doesn't know how to pronounce Albany. Claire with a K offers Alexis a job, but Alexis realizes she's better off staying in Schitt's Creek and running her new business. Moira and Johnny visit MADLY, which stands for Mature Adults Dating Lovers. Yes.
Yes.
For research purposes. But the lead intimacy facilitator, almost died just saying that, forces them to play a matchmaking lock and key game. Moira has no fun, as her match seems like a real dud. We knew nothing could jeopardize Moira and Johnny's relationship, though, so we weren't even worried. Well, that's enough of that. Let's shower this episode with some praise, Stuart.
I love that you say that we weren't worried. When Mr. Renee turned up, I was like, oh, I'm now worried, because
he can drive
Silver
at night.
Fox, he could drive at night. He was a silver fox, and Moira was smitten.
Mm-hmm. A little smitten kitten over there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start by talking about Johnny and Moira and their little adventure over at MADLY. The acronym MADLY really did crack me up. Like, you couldn't come up with something anything better than Mature Adults Dating Lovers. Yes.
Yes.
It makes no sense. It's just a bunch of you're just hodgepodging words together.
You get loads of businesses that do this, right? Like people that come up with an acronym that kind of fits for it, and then they come up with what it stands for after the fact. It's absurd. The fact that it's just like the yes at the end just makes it unreal. But this What was her job title? Intimacy coordinator?
Lead intimacy facilitator.
Facilitator. Just what? This episode is full of people with lofty job titles. Like Claire was just like CEO and influencer, right? And then you've got intimacy facilitate. No, just no.
Yeah.
Just don't. What is this business as well? Like, is are these dating companies still a thing? Like, I thought they had kind of been phased out by now, in that, like, basically all the apps are taken over and online dating, and, like, Schitt's Creek is not that old. So why are there still companies matching these people up? Is it because it's only for, like, mature people that just don't do apps? Is that
I think the idea is that they're in a small town. There's, like, you know, people of an older persuasion who want to be able to meet other people of an older persuasion. And yeah, I think they're not using apps and stuff. So this is a way. But I just feel like in my heart of hearts that the people that attend these Madly events, it's just the same group of people over and over again. Like when Johnny's match was Charlene or whatever her name was, when she is like shwasted, I feel like the lead intimacy facilitator lady, she's like, again, Charlene. Like, it gives big vibes of like, we've been here before. Renee, can you still drive at night? Okay. Like, it feels like we're getting the same people. So when she does meet Moira and Johnny, she's like, oh, fresh meat, new blood.
Yeah.
Like, she really wants them to play this game.
I can pair off the duds. I can get rid of what's his face who can't drive at night and is useless and is clearly the worst person there. I can like
get rid of the creeper who says, oh, my late wife said I'd meet someone who looks exactly like you.
Does he use that line on everyone? Does he say it to like to change every time?
Of course he does. Like, this is unhinged. If I'm his late wife, I'm haunting his ass immediately. Like, I don't know if ghosts are real, but if they are, that's what I'd be spending my time doing. Like, you're a little bit of a monster. Like, don't use me to get with new women. I'm not saying you can't get with women eventually, but like, you're going to use me as a prop in your weird little games? Absolutely not.
I mean, you're such a skeptic, Jess. Who's to say that she didn't say something very specific about shoulder length blonde hair and red lipstick? Why are you doubting this poor gentleman?
I just can't imagine, because I'm trying to picture this in my own life, right? Like, my husband going up to someone and being like, my late wife said this. I would immediately be like, absolutely not, I didn't. Like, how dare you? I want you to find love, but I don't have a specific idea in mind, you weirdo.
You just say, you'll find love with the complete opposite of what you know his type is, just so he'll never find anyone else.
Someone who is blonde and very short and so quiet. Just the quietest person.
Just totally not opinionated on anything.
Hates television, loves hiking, hates coffee, you know.
Hates Succession.
Hates Succession and is a cat person. That it would be lovely. It would be perfect. But I did love, again, this kind of reaffirms. I like that we started out with Moira saying like, oh, Johnny, are you nervous that I could meet someone? And then her immediately getting very jealous when you have Charlene, or again, I don't know if that's her name, but I'm gonna call her Charlene, getting pissed drunk and being like, maybe I'll stay over at your motel.
The laugh as well. Jeez. Just I hate it if you're the one experiencing like the laugh when you're the one in conversation with them. But I always love it if you're in a room with people and you hear one of those like really distinctive, like attention pulling laughs. Cause I just kind of look over and go, I'm glad I'm not with them. Because I don't have to deal with it. Johnny, if I was in Johnny's situation, I would just be cringing so much because he was I don't think he swayed once. Like, he was totally focused. Like, he even said to Mike, he was like, I know who I'm going home with at the end of the night kind of thing. Like, I didn't need to worry about anything. So Johnny is a great guy for this scenario.
Oh, he's
a great, like, and he's like, he's a really funny thing to like play off of Johnny just being the kind of serious one to just stand there and go, all right, I'm going to listen and go along with this kind of thing. It's just his typical shtick, right?
Yeah, and it is kind of difficult because at the moment that she's like being a lot and, you know, is laughing hysterically at him. He's kind of literally chained to her in a way because their lock and key are like connected. So you can't get away smoothly. You can't make a gracious exit in that precarious situation. So I feel for Johnny. This lead intimacy facilitator woman can honestly get the hell out of here, because she sees Moira trying to like fake laugh and approach them, and she's like, maybe you should try to find your own match. And it's like, woman, I am married and that is my husband. Like, how about you back up? Like, truly.
I mean, fair play. I mean, in her defense, she's trying to do a job, and based on her,
don't invite a married couple into your game.
They invited themselves. They're there to audit them.
They're observing. Which, they didn't want to necessarily, but you know.
No, Moira referred to them as auditors. So, like, no one likes an auditor. I don't care. So true. Like, even auditors who are listening to this are going, yeah, I know, we're universally disliked.
It's like the DMV or the IRS. Like, everyone feels the exact same way. Yeah.
You don't want someone pointing out that you're not doing your job properly, and that's entirely what auditors are there for today. So, like, of course, I think she's probably got like a stick up a butt about that. But also, what if it was correct? Like, what if beyond the mundanity and the kind of referring to his dead ex-wife, what if it could have worked? What if they're meant to be? No. And we just ignored the signs? No.
That man was not dressed snazzy enough for Moira's tastes. Like, absolutely not. That man does not wake up and put on a nice suit every morning the way Johnny does.
Because Johnny was trained by Moira. I think Moira possibly could have needed another project. Maybe there is future projects in the works. Maybe Johnny 2.0. He could have been something, and we were denied that. I'm talking absolute garbage. I do not want that to happen at all in the slightest. But I kind of like the idea of just entertaining with the fact that maybe there's some science behind it. Who knows?
No, there's absolutely no science behind it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk about Alexis and her new job opportunity and a blast from the past in Claire, who is just the worst. I want a hot drink, a hot water, but let it cool off. I just need to know that it once was warm.
I mean, is it possible to really hate someone but kind of like them at the same time? Because, like, as a third party that knows that this is a fictional character, I kind of lived for Claire a little bit. She was fucking hilarious. The whole, oh yeah, can you get a load of me? Like, I'm a lot, aren't I? Like, The self-awareness of being as much of an arsehole as she was. Yeah, just so
you are. You are the worst. And the entire time her being like, ugh, I can't wait to fire Albany. And she's my best friend. Ugh.
Well, that's the thing. No, the worst thing about that whole situation is she goes, I'm her best friend. Like, it was that kind of like clingy on kind of situation. I'm joking completely, but like, I kind of did live until the point in which she gaslit Twyla and was just like, I didn't order that. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, no. It was funny up until you hurt someone that I love.
What does she say? Away. She's like, oh, you're just like a small town waitress. And then she goes, merp, or like, what? So weird.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here, Claire, with a K. Like, you don't belong here. And Alexis, like, takes this job seriously because she says, like, oh, it's with a PR company. And, oh, we can get you out of this town, like, very easily. You'll go live in my dad's house. I don't even know what he's doing. He might have started a new family. But, and, like, I'm so proud of Alexis in this episode for recognizing that Claire is just completely full of shit. And also that, like, she does seemingly have an emotional tie now to Schitt's Creek when she's like looking at the motel rooms and gets her business cards in the mail. Like, you can tell that she feels proud of what she's accomplished here. And I think she's finally starting to see, like, maybe my life before this wasn't so great. Like, maybe it wasn't as good as I'm remembering it was.
Yeah, this was, we talked a lot about Alexis having growth episodes and having, like, real profound moments of reflecting on who she was, where she is now. Especially what with, like, the jobs, the education and everything. But this was, like, a real, I think, moment for her to pull back and assess, like, her enjoyment of life and, like, what it is that she gets value out of. And I think she came to realize that the vapidity, the kind of, like, just the hollowness of just that lifestyle of money in excess and not treating anyone with any value, treating people as commodities, like with poor Albany and, or am I pronouncing that right? I'm so
you're saying it, no, saying you're it saying it correctly. She keeps Albany. Saying Albany, and that's, I want to, as someone who lives 20 minutes from Albany, I want to freaking die every time she says Albany. Ma'am, stop that. She's, but already, like, the worst, so I'm allowed to pile on.
Oh yeah, fair play. But, like, I think the fact that, like, Alexis sees that and just goes, no, I don't value that anymore. And she looks around the motel and sees that, like, yeah, it's not nice, it's not pleasant. The motel hasn't improved in quality since she's got there, but she's formed memories there. And she's formed really kind of substantial bonds with the place, because it's a place that's been the venue of her having this kind of emotional growth and belief in herself, to the point where she can get herself her own education. She can set up a business, which it's not to the point where it's thriving, but it's getting off on a good start.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, oh, even the comparison of the business cards was just so funny, because obviously you get Claire's one, which is stupid and absurd.
CEO, and then you get founder, Alexis. Influencer. It just says Claire with a, like, with a K. Oh, that's it. One name. Like, she's exactly. Freaking Beyonce or Cher or something. Get out of here, Claire with a K.
It's stop absurd. It. And then just she gets her own this, business cards.
We're going to talk about, like, baby showers and having babies, like, soon enough. But please, people, think about this when you're naming your child. Like, stop trying to be quirky and fun and indifferent. Stop it. Just spell her name like a normal human being would spell Claire. Okay.
That's wow. Claire.
I don't care. Here, this is not even a spicy take at all.
Here they are just trying to get their kids unique social media handles. And you're there just trampling on their dreams, Jess. Just because they want to have something unique. No, it's like, I love this whole scene with Alexis. It's so lovely to get her, like, to have this kind of real moment. And I love the fact that, like, Annie Murphy's acting in this is just really nice and subtle. Because, like, the moment that Claire turns up, she's immediately fidgeting with her hands and is totally self-conscious in that moment. And
hey, babe! Hey, babe!
Yeah. Yeah, and they fall back into that same kind of, like, scripted expectation of just, like, oh, okay, let's talk like Paris Hilton in The Simple Life kind of situation. No, it's not her. It's not real. And yet she recognizes that, and by the end is like, yeah, I'm going to stick around. I'm not going to take it. Like, I've got some things that's going on here. It's like, just Alexis.
Yeah. Yeah. Alexis, no, I just... Again, and she looks incredible. Like, I really can't, when they do Alexis's hair and the way that it is styled when she goes to the bar, I just love it so much. Like, she looks so beautiful. I love her hair in the scene where she's with Twyla. And speaking of, I did want to note, I feel like there's an importance to her and Twyla collaborating on this singles week at the cafe and, like, nailing down a, like, oh, it's a 2-for-1, like, if you're singles and you dine together, like, you get a discount, and then they high five. Like, it's the camaraderie that she's experiencing with Twyla, and, like, the feeling like you have successfully come up with a really great idea, I think is giving Alexis a lot of just pride in her work that she probably wouldn't have if she accepts this random, so random job from Claire. It's just, I love Alexis so much, and we obviously see a lot of growth for her over this whole season, but, like, specifically these last few episodes, I feel like huge strides are taken, and it's really easy to see how much she's grown and changed from season one. So yeah, Claire can seriously F off and get out of this so random little town. Oh my God, it's so random. Like, get out of here. Oh my God, I like totally forgot you existed.
That's the worst. That's just like, was it the pals from season two? Like the ones that turned up, like the worst, like forgetting that she existed. Because obviously, like, it's kind of outside, out of mind, and they just don't care about them. But like, you're telling me you didn't even like think about them once. It's just, and where were you? Where were you the whole time? Just F off, go away.
Yeah.
You're the worst kind of people. But there's a character in a sitcom, I am going to laugh at absolutely everything you do because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous when she goes like, pack up, bitch, you're getting out. And then she does like a whoosh. Like everything she does is like so dramatic. Yeah. But we have to get to the main event, the entree, if you will, of this episode, which is, of course, the baby sprinkle / baby shower that David gets conned into throwing. Stuart, would you like a chance to defend your girl? Because I know Jocelyn is like 8 months pregnant or something and hasn't slept and has Roland as a husband, which was her choice. But girl just totally conned David into throwing a baby shower for her.
David showed weakness and Jocelyn pounced. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that's the only justification I can say is that, like, if David was strong of will, he would have said no. But he didn't. He offered.
I also think he didn't know what he was signing up for at all.
I mean, a party
needs to be planned and I will help.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of many things going wrong is what I'm going to put it down to. And I'm not going to lumber all the blame towards Jocelyn because I love her dearly. But yeah, I mean, if I really am pushed, Jocelyn was a bit of an arsehole in this situation.
Yeah, because it's unfair.
You don't do this, right? You don't get someone to throw a party for you the same day, expect them to pay for it, and then complain about the way in which they go about planning it. Like,
That's the biggest problem, in my opinion. The biggest problem is the fact that, like, she's probably not paying for it. I think if you're hiring, which is what she's doing, hiring like a store, a company to put on a party, you should be offering them some sort of money. I don't think, like, if he's signing on to do a last minute party, that's one thing, but offer to pay the man. And especially when Jocelyn knows David, she knows he doesn't understand baby showers. Like, do you really think this man has attended baby showers? I really don't think so. The fact that Patrick knows what a sprinkle is insane. Like, Stuart, did you know what a sprinkle was prior to this episode? Did you know that that existed?
No.
Good. I didn't even know
the etiquette of, like, I thought you had a baby shower for every baby. I didn't know that, like.
Oh, no. And here's where
different classifications of them, I guess. Yes. Like, what's the deal?
Here's the thing, people. I'm probably, one, going to swear very soon. So, like, if you have children, just put them aside for now. And on top of that, I'm about to rant. So if you're, like, very pro baby shower and you love a baby shower, like, now is your cue to leave. And I'm most specifically ranting about, I'm going to give you, like, the headlines of the amount of baby showers I've attended and the style of old school baby showers. I'm talking about your modern get-togethers. I'm talking about your old school baby showers. And I'm also going to get into the rant of how many different parties we must have to welcome a new human into this world because there's too many. Yeah, this is a sprinkle, which is considered a sprinkle because, oh, it's not your first child. So seemingly, most likely, you maybe still have some stuff. I would argue that given the difference in the number of years between Jocelyn's two kids, she might as well have a full-blown shower because the idea of a sprinkle is, well, you've already had one, you're having another, you probably have a lot of supplies already if you were planning on having a second kid. Usually you're keeping a lot of the same stuff.
Plus, also, I mean, you kind of want to ignore Mutt. You want to treat this as the first,
I would love
right?
to Mutt ignore Mutt.
Doesn't count, right?
Yeah, he was the trial and error baby. Yeah,
we don't even need to acknowledge
we failed a little bit. Yeah. So that is what a sprinkle is supposed to be. Now, my biggest problem with this entire endeavor is that we now, as a society, have considered that it is normal to not just have a baby shower, but also like a gender reveal party. And also maybe there's a sprinkle in there. And also, and we know all you people out there with your little babies are going to be like, oh my God, the baby is one. Hooray. Oh my God, the baby is two. Hooray. Like it's a never ending cycle of parties for a thing, a human that has no idea what's going on. No idea what at all. And so we are expected to shell out so much money in celebration of, let's be real and say Jocelyn's accident, okay? This was an accident, pure and simple. In this specific case, this baby was not planned. I'm spending so much money on your mistake now, at this point. Now, here's the thing. If you want to, and it's very gendered is the other thing that I'm going to get on my high horse about. Why do I have to suffer through all of these nonsense parties and the men in the world who've arguably done worse offenses than women in general don't have to go to any of them? And I'm forced to play these stupid games. Yes, I know of the diaper game Jocelyn talks about. That's a real thing. It's a real thing that you melt chocolate into diapers and then eat it to figure out what it is. What is
That's
wrong
horrendous.
With people? There's another one where you're supposed to take a piece of yarn and guess how big mommy's belly is. That's offensive. That's really offensive. There's another game where you like guess the weight and the due date and all this other stuff. That one's like fine. 9 times out of 10, there's baby bingo. 9 times out of 10, the people who have had the children have advantages, inherent advantages in these games. Because you know all this new age garbage that you're buying for like expecting moms. I don't know what half that crap is. So you're telling me not only do I have to, against my will, go to a party, I have to bring a present, I have to schmooze and act like I'm excited about talking about babies, and I'm less likely to win the games? What am I here for? Like, truly, they're so stupid. I hate baby showers so much. I really do. They're not fun for like almost anyone. And we did have some really engaging discourse in our community, Stuart, about baby showers and kind of what people like and dislike about them. And the vast majority of people agree watching people open presents isn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
Why are Have we you still ever, doing it?
I mean, even at someone's birthday party, like it was never fun to watch someone open presents. So like, I think most people, when they get to an age where you're not like a vanity laden child, that you'll be like, oh yeah, thank you for the present, I'll open them, like kind of when we're done partying together and sharing in the atmosphere. Like it's a weird thing to have an event that's centered around sitting down and watching someone open gifts, especially when you know that all the gifts are just going to be fucking baby grows.
And it's all things that you've registered for, so you're not even like surprised. You know you're getting these items. Stop. And on top of that, it's okay, there's like, oh, there's so many things. Okay, two other things I'm thinking about at this moment. I went to a shower where the idea was to wrap the item, or not even wrap it at all, in like something that is see-through, because they weren't going to do the whole opening of the presents, but they still wanted to be able to like see and thank everyone and blah, blah, blah. And then they decided to open presents anyway, and we sat there for hours watching them open presents. Like, truly a nightmare. The other thing, Stuart, are you aware of like the bow hats? Have you heard of the bow hats?
The bow hats?
So, no. And I never know if this is like a my family thing or if this is an everybody thing. I'm pretty sure it's an everybody thing. But usually, and I don't know if this is baby and wedding showers or bridal showers, I mean, or if it's just one or the other. But if there's ribbon on a gift that is wrapped, first of all, you're not supposed to cut it, which I don't know why. It's a thing. You're supposed to be able to get it off the present, and then you take a paper plate. I'm not joking. This is like totally the truth. I'm not trying to bullshit you. Take a paper plate and you affix the ribbons to the plate, okay? Upside down. And like you staple them. I don't know what they do. You put them on there. And then after all the gifts have been opened, after we've been sitting there playing baby bingo for like an hour and a half, they affix said paper plate to mommy's head. And she is wearing a bow hat. It's a real thing.
No,
I'm gonna look this up right now.
No. No, this is the buffoonery that I just can't get on board with. I'm totally up for joining someone's celebration for someone having a milestone, which is having your first kid. It's a big thing. And I think is a reason for celebration. I think that you can do it in a way that is totally non-gendered in terms of like revealing said baby's gender, or also inviting, you know, friends of multiple genders to the event. Why it just has to be one is astounding to me. But also, you can do it without doing all this weird shit. Like, why why do you have to, like, wrap a present in a bow just to make a bow hat? That seems a little nuts to me.
It
are you
is
Googling
nuts.
It and finding nothing right now, Jess?
No, it's like, everywhere on the internet.
Absurd.
Most people are saying, what do I do with this after? Throw it away! What do you mean? You
What's
throw
it contributing
out?
To keeping it? Yeah. This is anyone going to turn around and go, oh, do you still have your bow hat from your baby shower?
This is the
shower?
Kind of sick shit I'm talking about. Also, there was also discourse about games. Now, listen, if there aren't games at your party, I simply do not want to attend because I'm there for the games. Okay? I'm there for the games. But the biggest issue is, what are you giving out, right? What are the prizes? Okay? Sometimes you get like a candle. If it's lavender, stop it. Sometimes you get like something nice, like a candle or something. But a friend of the pod, Adam, mentioned gift cards. Now, this is the move, okay, to give out gift cards because everyone likes a gift card. If you were trying to give me away at either a bridal or a baby shower, the centerpiece in the table, F all the way off with that garbage. Like, I don't want, you're just trying to get people to take the crap so you don't have to clean it up. Stop it with that centerpiece nonsense, all right? No one wants your centerpiece. I have such strong feelings on this. And I'm allowed to because I have been to at least 30 baby showers in my lifetime. And every single one, I had to buy a gift. I had to attend. I had to act like I want to be there. Also, the other thing is 9 times out of 10, Stuart, I don't know again if this is just my family, if this is the norm. 9 times out of 10, they take place at around like a brunchy time on like a Saturday or a Sunday. So you're also eating into my weekend here. Like, truly and honestly, I don't like babies. Okay. Like, I am David when he says, this is why I effing hate babies. Because we're starting off on the wrong foot by me having to like go to this freaking party to begin with and act like I'm like, oh, yay, unborn baby. Hooray.
It's a heated topic. And you know that virtue, like, you know that immediately by the fact that they drop multiple F-bombs in this episode because it's warranted. I think the anger is absolutely warranted. I do think like the best gift you can give is some form of gift card. So like when friends of mine, they threw a baby shower, which I was invited to, we gifted like Uber Eats vouchers for them because we were like, we got into the mindset. We were like, okay, you're early 30s, you've just had your first kid, and you live in like central London. Are you going to need a baby grow that it's going to grow out of in a week? No, you're going to be tired, exhausted, and you're not going to want to cook. You're going to want to order like Domino's. There you go. Order whatever you like and stuff. And it's the only gift I've ever given for a baby shower. I've had a text message after it's been used and gone, thank you for this. We really needed it. And I was like,
yeah,
wonderful.
Nailed it.
So like, yeah. I think that's the best way in which you can go about it.
Well, there's also like weird diaper cakes, right? That's a thing. There's a new thing where instead, which I actually agree with this new thing where instead of bringing a card, you bring a children's book because cards just get thrown away. But at least if there's a children's book, you know, theoretically your kid can read or you can read to it, whatever, who cares? There's new agey things that I like. And we'll get into this more in the feedback section of the podcast because we did get some people being like, don't hate me. I'm having a baby shower. Listen, I don't hate you. Society dictates. No. You must have a baby shower. If you're going to do it, if you're getting the familial pressure to do it, at least make it cool and fun. Don't make stuffy and just for women that are forced to act like having ovaries just automatically makes you like being at a baby shower. Because this is not the case. Babies are like loud and they poop and they do nothing else to contribute to anything. I don't like babies, and therefore I don't like baby clothes and baby things. And oh, look at this cute little thing that was a tubi, and we suck out baby snot with it. Like, that's disgusting. Like, no. It's so gross. Why?
It's there with most things that come with like societal expectation. There are things you can accept and there are things you can reject. And I think you should accept the things that make sense for you, and you should reject the things that you are obligated to do because society tells you to do it. Do what you want to do. Have fun. If you like the old like stuff that is expected of you, by all means, knock yourself out with it. Just don't necessarily invite me to it.
Exactly. Don't expect me to be having a good time. Now, if you're going to have a baby piñata that we can whack with a stick, I'll be there for that.
I honestly, okay. We're going a bit all over the place what with the schedule here. I kind of want to put Roland in for MVP for that because it was so good. It's a great idea. It was an ugly pinata, but he got it for free from the dollar store. Like, I mean, good on Roland. He's trying to really help. I love that for him. He's scrambling to help Jocelyn out here. Plus, like, I think it accommodates multiple things. It provides entertainment for the baby shower, but also, if you don't like babies and you're being brought to a baby shower, take out your aggression on the pinata.
I'm totally with you. At least Jocelyn and Roland's baby shower, again, it wasn't like women only, right? Like, we had a whole bunch of people there. David came up with like a really fun party game of mommy needs her sleeping pills. Let's chuck them in mommy's mouth. Now, do I want people's hands touching an item that is then aimed at my mouth? No, I really don't.
No.
But this is Schitt's Creek and this is Jocelyn and Roland. And the other thing I need to know, and the reason why, one of the reasons why Roland would not get my MVP this episode is because I was wearing headphones while watching this episode most recently. And when him and Johnny are standing next to each other, like getting ready to throw the mints at Jocelyn, Roland is chewing with his mouth open so vigorously that it was all I could hear.
He does it all the time.
It's like, the worst.
If Roland did not have his eating habits, he would be so much more tolerable as a character, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's so bad. He does like the soft cheese tray, which David does end up bringing. And I like that it's a gift. Whoever, you know, wins the game of throwing pills in Jocelyn's mouth gets to bring home the remainder of the soft cheeses.
And it's a game that Jocelyn can't win, so it alleviates the whole thing of the pregnant person, like, taking the soft cheese, but they can't have, apparently.
Beautiful. Listen, don't ask me what pregnant people can consume, because it changes all the time, and I can't keep track, and I don't need to keep track.
Yeah.
They should know, but they can't.
You're the one that's pregnant. You tell me what you can't eat.
I think it's time to have a soft cheeses tray for the remainder of the guests. Like, just because mommy can't eat them doesn't mean the rest of the party goers don't want to have alcohol.
Well, this is why, like, a baby shower that I was invited to was held in a freaking pub. I was like, fantastic.
Get also, because you're in Britain, that it was, you know.
Well, yeah, everything's in the pub, yeah. If we go outside, it's to the pub.
Yeah. No, David did a great job. I think David did a wonderful job at working with what he was given. Yeah. And nixing the baby poop diaper game, 10 out of 10, David. Love that. Thank you so much for saving us all from that horror show.
I think the worst thing, though, is just the colliding of worlds of David and Patrick and then Jocelyn and Roland, because they're just two worlds that you just don't get to mix all too often. And it kind of led to Patrick having probably the most awkward thing ever of just suggesting that Jocelyn gets ready, and she's like, I am ready.
Whoops.
Oh, I wanted to crawl inside myself. That was so horrible to witness.
it's so good. I love the 1-2 punch of David and Patrick working together on this, because Patrick has the know-how of, like, he seemingly knows what baby showers are about, and David has the party planning capabilities, you know. Ultimately, it seems like it went off without a hitch. Like, people seem to be having a really great time. And, you know, considering it was very last minute and at Jocelyn's house on a Friday night. Anyway, like, the last thing I want to do on a Friday night. It's fine. It's whatever. It seemed to go well. So, good for David.
What's the game that they play in lunch? I'm just thinking, if it's Fridays, don't they play the strip version of that game every lunchtime?
Oh, cribbage or whatever.
Strip cribbage. So, like, they've forgone that for this party, which, I mean, like, fair play to them. Like,
Jocelyn isn't even sleeping. So, like, seriously, how is she? I don't even know if at 8 months pregnant you can, like, remove your socks and shoes alone. Like, truly, she probably needs assistance. And this isn't like a judgment. This is like a literal physical. How is she doing that?
I mean, combine that with the fact that she's over 30 as well. I mean, I'm struggling. Over 30.
So, yeah, that's the whole baby shower of it all. Again, I just, and the thing, okay, one other thing before we, like, go into feedback and we can probably talk about this even more. if you're going to do a gender reveal, just don't set the forest on fire. Okay. The world is already burning. Like, let's keep it low key. Let's just calm ourselves and also remember that gender is a construct.
Yes. It's ridiculous. To go on about the one and only baby shower that I was invited to, the best inadvertent gender reveal ever was they had a cake, they cut into it, and it was a rainbow cake. And when they did, the mother-to-be was like, it's a gay! Funniest gender reveal that wasn't actually meant to be a gender reveal ever. They should all just be like that. Just, you know, don't project gender sexualities expectations onto kids. Just don't do it.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop with your pink and blue nonsense. Anyway. Okay, let's talk through some feedback we got. We a lot of chatter about the baby shower stuff of it all. Aaron wrote in, okay, Stuart, I know you love Jocelyn, but she could be very manipulative. What do you have to say for yourself, Stuart?
Pregnant Jocelyn is not regular Jocelyn. Just how
you're not you election, when you're pregnant.
Yeah, just how election Jocelyn is not like regular Jocelyn. Everyone can be a monster now and then. I'm gonna give her this allowance. I feel like I'm allowed.
She's struggling.
Yeah.
Aaron also continued, okay, I'm gonna have a baby shower, but Jess, hear me out. I'm listening, Aaron. I'm listening. I also hate baby showers. You got me right away, Aaron. So much. They're the worst of the life event parties. I totally agree with that, by the way. Baby showers, absolute worst. But Jess, I am 41 years old and I have spent at least although this is definitely a made up number. Okay. I was like, did you calculate this? 4,689,400. Oh, wait, was that even more than 4 billion?
4,689,421,568.
It's a very specific number, Aaron. And I'd like to know how you'd arrived at it.
Celebrating that spreadsheet.
Celebrating all my friends and family's weddings and babies. I think I've earned some onesies for my baby. You will hear no backlash from me. You 1,000% have earned onesies for your baby. Also, it's going to be men and women, and there will be no games. Like, let's just have a barbecue and celebrate a cool thing that's happening. So that's me and my baby shower.
Okay, yeah. Lost me on the no games, won me back on the barbecue and hanging out with your friends. Yes. Which is, like I've been saying, you do
you. Throw in, like, cornhole. Throw in, and I'm not saying you have to have games with winners, right? Throw in an activity or two, and you've got me in attendance. If it's a barbecue and you've got like your cornhole, your horseshoes, I don't know, like anything like that, I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on.
Channel the Finnish. So I went to a wedding in Finland and we got...
Wow, what a brag.
Wow, what a brag.
It's nothing
European.
For me. I'm in Europe.
This is like you saying, oh yeah, I went to the next state over to for your wedding. It's like the distance is not actually that dramatic.
It's less cool though.
Maybe. But we got distracted for like a full hour because we discovered in the place that they had like were hosting the wedding, they had this game. It was called Mulkey. And it's like all these little stubs of wood with all different numbers on. And you get like a big stub of wood and you like throw it at it from a distance.
Yes.
And your idea is you have to knock over the numbers, like get points and stuff like that. Yes. We fully took like an hour break from this wedding celebration to all play this game. And we were obsessed with it to the point where a load of us tourists bought versions of it and then flew it back home with us.
Incredible. Yes. Any sort of that game, ladder ball, bocce ball, any sort of outdoor game like that is always going to be a hit. And you're going to have people who like, I don't really want to socialize. It's a little awkward. They can go play a game. Highly recommend barbecue. I'm there. Like, give me a burger. Yeah,
can't go wrong with a barbecue.
Yeah, especially because barbecue generally indicates also having alcohol. So, big fan. Nick started off on the wrong foot because Nick said, I'm having two baby showers. Or me and my wife are having two baby showers. And I was like, Nick, what are we doing here? But then he went on. I forgot to add my actual contribution to the baby shower sprinkle discourse. My wife's family is throwing her a more traditional shower back in her hometown, mostly for family and childhood friends, but at least it's at a brewery. So that's fun. Perhaps ill-suited for a pregnant person, as Patrick points out in the episode. Not at all. It's ill-suited. I think this makes sense. Then for our friends here in the New York City area where we live, we're having a baby blizzard. It's like a shower, but it's chill.
Amazing.
Now I love this. And I'll tell you why, Nick. Because families do be pressuring you to do the traditional things, especially if you're not in the same vicinity as them anymore, right? Like, I think if she's going to her hometown, makes sense. She'd probably have more of a traditional shower. Dear God, I hope your poor, poor pregnant wife does not have to wear a ribbon hat. I truly, she's in my thoughts right now. Okay. Please do not make that poor woman wear a ribbon hat. Unless she wants to, you know, whatever. I think the idea of a baby blizzard where it's just like a chill hangout with friends, iconic. I love Wonderful. That for both of you. I think you get the best of both worlds, especially if you're kind of being forced to do one of them. Because at least you're going to walk away with some gifts and you've fulfilled the obligation, right?
Yeah. I think it's the best way you go about it. You fulfill the obligation. Also, you don't get the weird Venn diagrams of like two social circles mixing, which I think in a wedding is a much different vibe because everyone's there for like an actual party. So everyone is like geared up. Whereas like I think with baby showers, you have a weird mixture of people who are perhaps younger, who like your friends, who are perhaps wanting it to be more of a party. And then you have your relatives who are perhaps older, much more expecting the old traditional. Mm-hmm. And it's like those two social circles kind of like butting heads. Certainly keeping them separate, I think, is a great way to do it. And especially, baby blizzard. I mean, I'm not gonna ever quit.
Reminds me of Dairy Queen. Sounds great.
Do you have Dairy Queen? What?
Okay, you don't have Dairy Queen.
We don't have Dairy Queen. I've heard about it. Is it
Dairy Queen? Restaurant? It's like an ice cream place, and they sell a thing called a blizzard. And what a blizzard is kind of like a milkshake, but thicker. And you mix it in. So you pick your mix in. So you have like vanilla ice cream. Oh, I want some Reese's Cups. I want some M&Ms, whatever. You mix that stuff up. And the brilliant part about a blizzard is, I'm trying to find a prop here so that I could show you. The brilliant part about a blizzard is, if you're watching us on YouTube, when they hand it to you, I'm using my water bottle as an example. When they hand it to you, they flip it upside down first and then they go like this. And it's to show that ice cream, it ain't budging. You go whoop.
It's thick. Right.
Thick. Yeah, that's a Dairy Queen blizzard.
Right. I totally lost why we got. Oh my god.
We're talking about baby blizzards, and baby blizzard reminds me of a Dairy Queen blizzard, which I loved as a kid, and I still do love because I'm human. So
amazing. I mean, get a blizzard. That would be an amazing addition to it. Not gonna quibble.
Have ice cream at your baby blizzard. Anything else before we jump into some ratings here?
No, I'm eager to kind of put some people on some ratings here. I got some thoughts.
Okay. Simply the best this week. The MVP of the episode. I feel like it's a little tough because I think there are, in my opinion, two primary options here. And I guess I'll talk through them a little bit. We have David and we have Alexis, I think is where I ultimately come up, right? David, who's throwing a last minute party for someone and he hates babies. So it really is like difficult for him. And Alexis, who really makes like a very mature, it's much more of a warm, fuzzy point if you give it to Alexis. It's like she's really making the right decision to stay in town. And here's the thing. I love Alexis. I've given her a lot of points this season. But like truly David being the one to have to throw a baby shower, like I have to give him so much credit because he hates babies, as do I. And he is voluntarily involving himself in a major process and a party throwing thing and having to come up with games and having to talk Jocelyn out of a baby diaper game. Like, thank God we didn't have to see melted chocolate in baby diapers. So David is getting my point this episode.
It's a fair assessment. I was kind of a similar mindset, is that there are two, I think, very obvious candidates. I'm not going to lie. I really am considering giving it to Roland for the pinata. Because I think it was a really inspired choice. And then just for comedy, I want to throw in Claire because she did offer Alexis a job.
How absolutely dare you? The audacity of you as a human being right now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really tough one because I completely agree with you that like David, he did a really he was strong-armed into it, but he did a selfless thing, and he did throw someone a baby shower at the very last minute. But I can't not give it to Alexis just for that moment of her looking around the motel and just having a bit of the warm fuzzies for it. I was like, yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It is. She, I mean, listen, it was really tough between David and Alexis. I just had to go with David because, like, truly, he is me. I am him. We just connect in that way.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the disgruntled pelican point. And this also is a little tricky because we've always said that we struggle to, we don't want to give it to a person that we probably won't see again. We have, there is precedent. We have given it to Bev and Don Taylor because they sucked so much. We've given it to Tallahassee because she was the worst. Like, there are people we've given it to who suck. Darlene's cousin.
Oh my God.
Miguel. Yeah. There are people we've done this for. I do think there is an argument to be made for Jocelyn to get it because of the hoodwinking and manipulation. However,
you're running a risk there, Jess. Even saying Jocelyn.
No, as a member of the Capital Region in New York, as a person who lives upstate, the fact that Claire cannot pronounce Albany and is just the worst human being, I feel like it is. She is on the level of a Ben and Don Taylor in that she has so earned a disgruntled pelican point. I really cannot give it to anyone else, especially when I consider the fact that Jocelyn is married to Roland, like 8 or 9 months pregnant. Her sister's husband has a heart event, and like she is forced to deal with her own baby shower, like because Roland is simply incapable. I feel for her in that way. So I'm not going to give her a disgruntled pelican point, but Claire with a K, you on my shit list.
Wow. Wow. I that's mean,
right. Oh, shit list. That's funny. I see it. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
We're 4 seasons in and it's only just arrived at you that we can make a joke of the word shit. This is outrageous.
You're welcome, everyone. I'll be here all week.
I mean, Claire's the obvious choice. I think is like I think that instinctively who I should go with. Jocelyn is a contender, as much as a joke about it. Like she has to be for the way in which she was strong on, but like, she's got baby brain. She's been kept up until like 2 a.m. because of the baby doing gymnastics. So I don't think it's necessarily her fault. I think there's a case to give it to Patrick for the comment to Jocelyn because
how
it was
dare
that,
you?
That it was that egregious. I'm sorry.
I can't wait for all the Patrick lovers to come out.
I'm just saying there's a case to give it to him for that one comment because it was that bad. It's just a faux pas you just don't do. But I mean, how can you not give it to Claire? It's got to be Claire.
Thank you.
She is the absolute worst.
She's the worst. The worst. She even says it. I know I'm the worst. You are.
Yeah.
Claire.
I think that like as much as like we try to like give it to the main like kind of cast and like recurring kind of characters that we see, I think it's justified. But I think also she had a more profound impact of being an asshole than the intimacy facilitator lady.
True. If she was nicer, Alexis may leave town.
In which case, she would have earned it either way. if she'd been nicer, she would have earned it for taking away Alexis from us.
This is true. No, I like where we arrived. Also, one other thing about Dan Levy specifically and David in this episode is the physical comedy was killing me. The oh no.
I can't believe I've been seeing and using that gif for years now and I didn't realize that was the context of what it was, of just him just being really sarcastic.
And the other one when they're talking about the baby diaper game and he goes question like hand all the way up, like he's everything this episode. No, I love that. I love where we landed here. Claire is truly the worst and she can leave and never come back. Let's tier rank this episode, Baby Sprinkle, season 4, episode 10. Stuart, do you have any inclination as to where you would like to put this? We have hot shit, full bouquet. Love that journey for me. You, David, and shit out of luck.
I was instinctually thinking kind of high, love that journey for me, low. Yeah, like, got a losing tier list. A low full bouquet, potentially. I think it's like around that kind of area, which I know a lot of the episodes kind of have been. I think that this was... It's so tough when we get to this, because I always think of like Love That Journey for Me as being like a good average.
It's episode. Average, yeah,
think,
solid.
Yeah, and if I think of the average based on like previous seasons, I certainly think it's above previous seasons episodes. So should it be in 4BK? But then I don't think it's as funny as Asbestos Fest or The Jazz Guide. Like, I think those have like particular moments. So I'm thinking like lower end of that, but I could be swayed.
I love this episode. Oh, really? I love this episode because of the baby sprinkle. The amount of times that I have seen TikToks using the sound of, a baby sprinkle. What is that? Oh, well, it's like a sprinkle. It's like a shower, but less. It's your second baby. That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. Like, I've seen that TikTok used so many times, and I love David's attitude about the entire thing. I think if, again, I'm taking the episode into three storylines, baby sprinkle, I think, is hysterical. I think then you have the Alexis stuff, which is very heartwarming. So you do have a nice blend there. And then the Moira and Johnny stuff is like fine. Like, it's not offensive. It's not, it's average. I would put the Moira and Johnny of it all in the Love That Journey for me. Like, it's fine.
On reflection, the Moira and Johnny is a lot funnier than I actually think back on. Like, just the visual comedy of like Johnny in the conversation and the linking key. Of the keys is just it's such a stupid small little like visual gag.
And Madly. And
Moira. Oh yeah, Madly. Yeah, actually. Because
so that if we're it. Thinking yeah, if I would put, because this is, if I'm breaking it down into three storylines, I'm putting the David storyline in hot shit. I'm putting the Alexis storyline probably in the full bouquet, like higher end of full bouquet or so. And then the Moira and Johnny at lower end of full bouquet or like high, love that journey for me. So I feel like on average, I would probably end up putting Baby Sprinkle somewhere in the center of like full bouquet.
See, I was going to say the David, like, bet top end of full bouquet, Moira and Johnny top end of full bouquet, and I realize I'm going against what I've said previously just now. And I think on the Alexis thing, kind of like middle of the road full bouquet. So I think actually it's probably an argument for it to be top of full bouquet.
I'm thinking because the olive branch is the one with David doing the lip syncing. So is the Alexis stuff more heartwarming than that? I would argue maybe not. I think that I prefer the David, but I love David and Patrick, so I'm like, I'm such a simp for them. I love them so much. I think
David and Patrick, they get more of a moment with open mic, right? Like, that's
the moment. So do we want to put
not the lip sync, that's the moment. I second? Think I'm edging just a bit above it, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I think it earns this spot. Like, it's so good. It's so funny. David throwing a baby shower will never not be funny. It is so hysterical. Like, it's the way in which it all goes down. It's also a very tight episode. I feel like there's not really any wasted time in it. So, yeah, I really like Baby Sprinkle. I think it's very fun. And, of course, it allowed me to rant about baby showers, which I simply love doing, as evidenced by everyone saying, you've definitely had this conversation before, and me saying, I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
And it was not that long ago.
Yeah, we had the conversation a couple of episodes back. Then we had it again last week. Then we had a conversation after we stopped recording. And then we had this conversation. Yeah.
The problem
Please tell me there's no more baby showers.
The problem is when you podcast so much, it's all just like once the podcast is over, it's out of my brain and I don't remember anything I've said. It's a fever dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like I said before, I think you went through a fugue state with your podcast. It's like definitely. You just kind of. You go on autopilot sometimes. You say some stuff, which is why I tend to just change my opinion on what I say when it comes to rankings at the top of that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the episode title for next week. Season 4, episode 11, the penultimate, I guess, because there's a special this season. I don't know how it works. Anti-penultimate, I suppose. Season 4, episode 11, the rollout.
The rollout. Alexis's new business? Like, oh no, the singles night thing? Are they rolling that out? Like singles week? Is it that? I don't know.
We'll have to find out next week. As always, you know where to find us. Talking shit everywhere if you want to send us in any feedback. So I think that's about it, Stuart, unless you have anything else you would like to add.
No, just the usual. Obviously, if you are looking for something a lot more bleak to watch at the moment, The Last of Us Season 2 is going to be coming out April 13th. We're covering it over on Look for the Light. We're covering Season 1. We're recapping all of that. And then we've got a couple of weeks in between where we're going to be recapping the second Last of Us game. We're going to be talking about like trailer and like all the photos, and we're going to be like doing a bit of Season 2 speculation. So head over to Look for the Light Pod if you want to check that out, where you can hear me and Jess talk about really emotional and really heart-wrenching storylines, mm-hmm. which is the polar opposite of this show. But yeah,
yes.
Check that out.
Incredible. Okay, well, we will return next week with Season 4, Episode 11. And until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.